It's just another quick show, and it's the news, according to me. Good morning this morning. It's Thursday morning. All day, as far as I know, at least where I am. It's Thursday, May 26th. The time is 9:55 a.m. Yes, it's very late for me this morning. I have a limited amount of time. I have to get out the door again here at about 10 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock local time. I'm actually in Illinois right now. Or for those, some of you that live in different parts of the state, Illinois. Or for some of you who don't live in Illinois, it's Illinois, much like Des Moines. Yeah. I have just a smattering of things to talk about this morning. I don't have a whole lot going on, but you know, the rhetoric continues to ramp up. Now, this whole shooting that happened and the way the reaction that we're getting from some people is, as usual, it's downright just disgusting and disrespectful. I always hesitate to say much because it almost makes it sound like I'm belittling or trying to reduce what happened down in Texas. And yet, you know, the reality or the practicality, the understanding of what is really going on here as we approach it as a community, we can't have the rhetoric of just government needs to do something now. Government needs to step in with a knee-jerk reaction to do something, to take away rights. And they literally are saying we have to give up some of our civil rights, is what they're saying, to make society safer. This has been the leftists, I'll say that. It's been their, they've been touting this now for years. And I don't even like to say it's the leftists. It's not really the Democrats. It's the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. There's no such thing. It's the Democrat Party. Let's label it for what it is. Or maybe they want to come up with a new name. That's up to them, but they haven't changed their name. The Democrat Party has been overrun. It is caving in to the incredible pressure that they receive. And it's I've never seen anything like this before. In my lifetime, it's gone from the JFK Democrats to the socialist, communist, Marxist hybrid that it is. So, having said all that, we need to talk about this morning. This is very, very important. We can't avoid it. You just have to talk about this. And what it is what's in my cup. So we have this morning. I was out walking this morning. I'm in a hotel that has they have a buffet, I think, or something downstairs. And it looked okay, but you know, I kind of get tired of just being in a hotel and staying in a hotel. I have to get out, especially this time of year. In the wintertime, I can deal with that. That's if it's snow on the ground and it's cold outside and there's food in a nice warm place, I tend to stay in. I just work out in the gym. This morning, there was an opportunity to get out and do a little walking, more walking than jogging, actually, this morning. Most of the jogging was just done when I was out in the middle of the street and cars were coming. That's kind of what, I did some sprints out of necessity. But other than that, it was mostly just a walk. I walked all over the place. I went to, haven't been to Target for a long time. And there just happened to be one along the way as I was walking. So I walked in there. And of course, this was after I had breakfast this morning. So I was walking around with my cup. Everybody said, hey, what's in your cup? I said, well, you have to listen to the show to find out. Because I'm not going to tell you. You have to watch the show. You have to listen to the show. It's hard to watch a podcast that doesn't have video. My understanding now is that YouTube has supposedly become the number one podcast platform now. I don't know that I can get away with that if I try to do that. I might try it. I might try posting the audio version of my podcasts on YouTube. It takes a little bit more effort, but it's actually because you have to come up with a, you have to make a video, obviously. The video has to be there. You can't just, as far as I know, I haven't looked into the whole thing yet, but the way I used to do it is I would have myself live on a video. Now, my understanding is now you can actually just post, you know, you can just take a picture, a still picture of your video and just have, you know, this podcast thing going on the whole time. So you're just posting a picture basically on your video and stretching that out to the length of your audio. And then just posting that, you render it as a low-res video, and it doesn't take a whole lot of space. Uploads and downloads easily. So this is what I've done, and I'm looking into this because I don't know. I just don't know whether it's going to be a good deal or not. The typically, as I muddle through this process, I've seen listenership go up. Quite a bit, actually, just in the last little while. Now, we are on Podchaser now, I think, as well. Samsung Podchaser. What are some others? iHeartRadio. So we're getting out there on a few other platforms. not that that's a real big deal, but it is something of a big deal. I have noticed the listenership goes up. Every platform that I go on to, there's more listenership. So eventually, if I have 3,000 platforms, I might end up with like 1,000 listeners. That's my plan. I'm working the math on this. Yeah. So in my cup, I'm sorry, I just got sidetracked from the off onto some not important things. Unimportant, I guess you would call it that. Unimportant stuff. Yeah, I have to get back. The reason I have to get back today is because I have I've got a client today at 5 o'clock this afternoon that wants me in the studio because they pay me all this ridiculous amounts of money to listen to me talk and read stuff. So I have to get back there for that. And I don't see any way that's going to happen. I have to go up through Chicago, and I just don't see it happening. I think I'm going to be about 15 minutes late getting to the studio. And of course, then I got to fire everything up and get it working, which can take some time too. So we'll see how that goes. These people are probably going to fire me forever. Never use me again. which is fine. I got plenty of other clients. It's not a big deal, but I hate doing that to somebody. I hate to, hopefully they've got a little bit of flexibility on their end, because it's really going to be tight. Anyway, the matter of the cup. We have. I went to Chick-fil-A this morning. There's actually a Chick-fil-A with 0.7 miles from where I am right here. So I went. I did some walking around, and I walked over there and walked in, acted like I owned the place because there was nobody else in there. Believe it or not, I was kind of surprised at that. There was nobody inside. I was the only person inside. Here's what's weird about this. This is a little awkward. So I walked up to the counter, only person in line. Of course, they have this big long thing you're supposed to walk through to get to the counter. You know, it's like a little, like the thing at Disney World when you got the lines and you kind of crunch them all up. So you got this big, huge, like, maze you're supposed to walk through. Well, nobody was in there. So I cut in line. I felt really bad about doing it. Really bad. In fact, I told him, I was almost in tears. I said, I really hate doing this, but I'm going to cut in line. I hate doing it. I know you have this thing all organized and it's all, you got it all, you set all this stuff up for people to walk through it. I'm just not going to do it. They almost booted me out, but then they said, okay, well, we'll let you stay this time, but we're going to put you on probation, your Chick-fil-A probation. So I ordered my sandwich, and I didn't think about it till after I ordered it. I got the number 3, I think it is, breakfast sandwich. Now, what that is it's egg whites with cheese. And those are cooked, and then it has that on a grilled chicken fillet. Now, that's all well and good. It all seems like it's all, I mean, it was tasty. Of course, that's also on a biscuit of some kind or whatever it is. It's all good. It's all good stuff. Here's the problem. I didn't think about it till afterwards. But I actually, it's an egg. and you're eating it with chicken. I don't know. It's just a little weird. I'll let you fill in the blanks on that one. I had a... So anyway, I got my cup, you know, I got my sweet tea. Of course, I got a large sweet tea, and I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking my sweet tea, sipping on my sweet tea, and kind of looking over some emails and deleting, you know, 99% of them. And I ended up sitting there waiting, and so I was watching a video or something, whatever I was watching, I don't remember what it was. This whole thing in Davos is going on as well, the World Forum or whatever it's called. I don't know whatever it's called. It's creepy. It's these people are talking. It sounds like we have been waiting for you, Mr. Bond. I'm not expecting you to die. They're talking ridiculous. This weird. This creepy talk. It's these people sound just terrifying. We have the power to take over the world. To control our power and influence to take over the world. And we can, whatever. I don't know. And of course, and Pfizer now. Very rich of them. Is whining about having to throw away 30 million vaccines. Oh, poor baby. You sold billions of them. And you have to throw away 30 million. Oh, probably cost them a dollar a piece for them. They made hundreds of billions of dollars. And they're all, oh, look at poor Pfizer. Oh, the poor babies. We should give them some money. The government should pay for them. Yes, we already did it. They already made their money from the governments. What do you think foot the bill for all this stuff? So, I was listening to some videos there at the Chick-fil-A. And I'm sitting there waiting, and this guy walks out with a little bag. He's walking around an empty, completely empty dining area. Except for me. He walks out. He says, are you Kevin? I say, well, I am a Kevin. Maybe you should ask around and see if there's any other Kevins in here. Because, you know, you don't want to get me mixed up with all the other Kevins that might be in here. I didn't say that, but this is what's going through my head. I could really have gotten really snippy and sarcastic at the moment. I was just, these are the thoughts that go through my head. I could have gotten very snarky, I guess is the word, if that's a word. I just made it up. If it's not a word, it should be a word. I said, oh, yes, thank you. Of course, then he said, my pleasure. And then I remembered, of course, they have to say my pleasure every time you say thank you. So I said, he sat down on the table and said, oh, thanks. And he goes, you're my pleasure. And as he's walking away, whoa, no, thank you very much. He goes, my pleasure again. Every time you say that, it triggers something in their brain. I can't imagine actually working at that place because if you're there and you're actually working with the public and you're constantly saying my pleasure all the time, every time you hear someone say thank you, the rest of your life you're going to say my pleasure. It's just a Pavlov dog thing. So I ate my sandwich and had my tea there. So I didn't get it. I should have got it refilled is what I should have got done. Because they put, they fill the thing with ice, and then they put the tea in. Of course, it melts some of that. So they kind of do it that way on purpose. That's their combo. That's their combination for making tea. So I ended up going out then. I walked out the door, and I was walking around with my cup. So then I went past Target again. Of course, Target wasn't open the first time I walked by. So as I was walking by the second time, I thought, I'm going to take a walk through Target just to see what's here. I wonder what it's like anymore. I just haven't been there very long, for very very often. Now, I know a lot of people really like to shop at Target. And one of the reasons I don't is because, now some of the reasons people like to shop at Target is because they typically, supposedly, they have little bit nicer items. Supposedly, their items are a little bit a step above, like a half a step above Walmart, supposedly. They're a little more refined. Now, this Target is also like a super Target. It had like a grocery section on the one side. So it had a lot of food there. And so I thought, well, I'll take a look in there. I'll just walk around, see what it's like. And one thing I always look for is V8 Fusion because I can never find V8 Fusion anywhere. I can find V8 Splash and V8 Energy, but I can't find V8 Fusion. So a V8 Energy, I think, is basically just V8 Fusion in a can, and they just sell it. They make more money on it selling it in a can because it's now it's an energy drink, even though it doesn't really have any. There's no more caffeine in a can of that than there is in a cup of coffee. But, you know, it's not like a high caffeine energy drink. It's just fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. So I ended up walking around in there for a little while, kind of thought, well, I'll take a look and see what they've got in electronics, and I'll see what they got in their automotive section, which is one little aisle with nothing in it. And so I walked around a little bit more, and then I walked back around, did kind of a full lap in there just to kind of see where everything was. Went back around to the food section, and I thought, well, maybe they've got V8 Fusion here. So I went down over that to that aisle, just kind of trying to figure out where that might be. I got down there and was looking in the aisle, and all I could find was V8 Splash and Energy. That's all I could find. Now there is another thing. It's, I can't remember what the brand was on it, but it was like an all-juice pineapple something. It might have been pineapple, mango, something. I don't know. Looked pretty good. It didn't look that great. It was a clear container, but it did look natural. Looked like something that it looked like something I could probably get. But it was in a jar. It was like in a plastic bottle, fairly large plastic bottle. And when I'm traveling, I just don't like buying that. I probably could have bought it. I mean, I have space, but sometimes it's harder to pack those kinds of things. So I just was looking around and thought, you know what? I'm just going to get the little six pack of V8 Energy, I guess. So I did that because I can always take those cans and I can kind of stack them around in my bags and stuff. And then I can, as long as they don't bust open, because they're really thin metal, by the way, to really be careful with those. So I usually put them in a little bag, and then I wrap them up in a bag. That way, in case they break, they don't go over everything. And I can just take one of those cans, and I can put one can in my sweet tea. When I get my sweet tea about halfway down, I just dump that in it, and then it's like a mixture. So that's what I did. I got back to the hotel here, and took that can, dumped it in what was left of my sweet tea, with a bunch of ice. Can you hear the ice in there? So that's what I've got. Now I've got my cup is a Chick-fil-A cup. That's about half sweet tea, maybe a little less than half sweet tea, and I got a can of V8 Energy in there. Pretty good stuff. So that's going to get me through the day. I'm probably not going to get any lunch because I'm going to be going. I might actually have a chance to get a smoothie or something as I'm on my way, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get a chance to really get much for lunch because I'm going to be pretty much hoofing it the rest of the way back to try to get back in time for. This client that I've got at 5 o'clock, it's just going to be a little bit tough. So that's the story of the cup this morning. There you have it. So let's get on with the show. Oh, it's time to end the show. No, I'll keep going. We'll keep talking here for a little bit. I have a little more time. I can work this out, I think. I've been noticing a lot lately that in the news, there is this tendency to have just to get a little bit more into the rhetoric. And they tend to double down and sensationalize things. On both sides of the issues here, we have a tendency to follow a narrative almost to the point of reaction. One side reacts to the other. Any event that happens in the world comes back with this reaction. That, you know, I can almost tell you how the right is going to react and how the left is going to react. And the way they will juice things up and ramp things up with rhetoric on both sides. Now, I have to say, I don't see very many people rioting on the right. What we are being told is the ultra MAGA crowd and how dangerous they are. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Not at all. Because I'll just go there. Beto O'Rourke. Robert O'Rourke. Think about that. He wants to be Beto because supposedly that makes him relate to, as if he's, you know, basically he's Mexican, but he just, you know, even though he has a last name of O'Rourke, like O'Reilly. But, you know, do some math on that one. Supposedly, before he started running for office and doing anything with politics, nobody ever called him Beto. That's like a stage name for him. Because these people have no scruples whatsoever. They just did none. So he walks into this. They're having a forum of some kind, or some kind of a might have been a press conference of some kind, or whatever it was, where the mayor of the little town, I can't pronounce the name of the town. I'm not going to try. I've heard it pronounced different ways, and I don't know what the proper pronunciation is. So out of respect, I'm just not going to pronounce the way the town is. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to try. They were having this little press conference. I believe the mayor of the town was there. And Beto decides this is an opportunity for him to stand up. I believe Governor Abbott was there at the time as well. Now, Beto is running for governor of Texas. Good luck with that. And you see, he's tried this stuff before. He tried to run for senator, I believe, too, as well down there. And he had people from all over the country. This was a special runoff election of some kind of whatever it was. There were people pouring, dumping money, and celebrities getting involved and getting him elected there. And, of course, this didn't go well for him. He lost in spite of all the money. I think he outspent his opponent by two or three times. And had all kinds of celebrities and all kinds of crazy people coming into the state. And I'm sure there were no mules involved. So he walks into this meeting, and he starts interrupting it. He walks up to the platform, and he's just jabbering away and supposedly calling out the governor, and wow, they're not protecting our children. Why aren't you protecting our children? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know if Beto has any children. I don't know whose children he's talking about. This idea that people claim children for themselves that aren't their children, I understand the community aspect of our children. I get that concept. The problem is these people go beyond that. When they start talking about that, they start saying that the children belong to the state. This is really where they're going with this stuff. So it's been interesting to see this guy, you know, every time he has a meltdown like this. I don't know that he's getting any backlash from the left at all. Nobody's talking about it at all. They see him as a hero. Oh, he's standing truth to peace, talking truth to power. Oh, he's standing up against the tide. We need to support Beto because he's so brave to walk in there like that. No, that's not exactly what was going on there, folks. I don't care who would have done it. All it was doing was disrespect. There's no statesmanism. There's no statesman-like character there whatsoever. You have an activist that wants to be in political power. With every activist comes an agenda behind them that is typically radical and dangerous. I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on. If you have no understanding of being a statesman and what that means, being a representative of the people. And here's this comes back to this idea that government is supposed to keep us safe. We need to look to government for all of our answers. You're going to keep us safe. You're going to give us education. You're going to provide for all these things. Government's going to be our provider. That's government's job. Government's job is to keep us safe and provide for us. And there are some people who have this idea that government is like a big parent, or that government basically has become our community source. And by that, I mean our church. there are people who look to government the way we used to look to God in this country. We used to depend on the church community that we were a part of. And now it has become, that has been usurped because they continue to whack away, to whittle away at this idea of separation of church and state. Well, if you continue to separate, just kind of keep prying morality, any kind of exterior moral standards out of our legal system, out of our justice system, out of anything within, you know, within the confines of our philosophical foundation as a nation, then as that starts to happen, well, the church becomes more and more meaningless. The church kind of has usurped its duty in some ways to be the storehouse, to be the storehouse in the community for, if you look at the book, just read the book of Micah. It'll help you understand. It's the whole idea of tithing is so that the church will be known as there'll be food in my house. That's his whole, God himself makes that statement. So that there will be food in my house. In other words, it is the safety net. If you can't make it, you go to the church and there's solace there. There's a sanctuary from whatever life is dealing on you. That's what that's meant to be. But now we look to the government for that. The government has stepped in and take that safety net position. So what purpose does the church have now? Well, the church now just has a purpose for doing a social community show every week, getting more and more people through the door, in and out, you know, three or four services, making that machine work, getting the combination of the right amount of songs, the right amount of the little message that makes you feel good, a life applicable message, nothing that leaves you in tears as you're listening to the story and understanding, you know, bringing you face to face with a holy God. That doesn't happen in a lot of these big mega churches anymore. I left feeling so good about myself. Oh, that's great. That's why he died on the cross. So you can feel good about yourself. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself. But that's not the mission of the church. Okay. God wants you to have peace and he wants you to have joy. All those things. But he doesn't want you to experience it within the confines of I'm happy with myself. We rejoice in his salvation, in the hope of things to come. The recognition and the fact that he's brought us to a place of grace by his mercy to show us who he is and the plan that he has for us to be with him forever. If that doesn't instill some kind of positive attitude in you, then you need to seek help. We are, we have this attitude, and some of these radical activists, this is where they go with this stuff. They just continue to push the idea that government is our God, that the government has all the answers. You don't hear the leftists talk much about how they love this country. They love what it stands for. They want to restore the founding principles. You don't hear them saying anything like that at all. You don't hear them saying anything like, we need to get, you know, we need to have people do it. We need to help churches. We need to help religious organizations. In fact, the only ones that they, if they do say anything about anything, it's anything but the Christian church. Anything but Judeo-Christian beliefs. So you have to realize for a moment, if you step back and listen to that, well then, what is this? If it's not pro-Christ, it must be what? Christ. I'll let you fill in the blank on that. Now, lately I've been getting more involved in theological stuff, and I don't like to go there too much. But it is the foundation of everything. In fact, it's the foundation of our individual rights. It's the foundation of, when you look at George Washington and what he did, he could have been king of this country. People wanted him to be king. He could have just stepped in. He was a very powerful man. He could have just been king of the country, and we would have had the same kind of thing that England had, and that many other groups of people have had. When someone rises to the top and all of a sudden we say, we want you to be our king, and then, of course, then all the corruption starts. The most benevolent thing a king can do is to return, to dethrone himself and turn power back to the people. And that's exactly what George Washington did. He was in a position. There was no real government as we know it. We didn't have the Congress and all these other things going on when he first decided that, no, the government needs to be before him by the people. We need to turn this back to the people. And we need to make, you know, that needs to be the foundation. And that every man is sovereign. Every person is sovereign in their own property. And they have the right to prosper based on the fruits of their labor. And they have the right to defend that as an individual. Government is there primarily, first and foremost, of the top 10 things that the government is there to do. The top 9 are to protect us from having our rights taken away. Not special rights. Matt Walsh did a really good program on this the other day. He was talking about how they're marching in the streets for civil rights, for trans rights, or whatever it is, trans rights and whatever else it is. Different things. I think he was picking on the particular trans rights thing. Well, what are trans rights? Aren't they the same as human rights and civil rights and individual rights? I believe in individual rights. I believe you have the right to be an individual. I believe in all those, the rights you have as an individual. Trans rights are special rights. They don't want equal rights. They want special rights. This is when it starts to become dangerous. And I think this is where the pushback is not very well defined by people on the right. They just come across sounding like a bigot because they don't want to accept the trans rights idea. But it takes sitting down at a table and explaining this to somebody. You can't just shout across a room or across an alleyway or across a street with people wearing signs who beat you up if you say the wrong thing. This is where it's leading. We need to kick it back. And the problem, of course, is it all starts in the public school, in my opinion. Public school just doesn't pull these philosophical truths, foundational things. They don't instill them in our children. And then we end up with, you know, this. Crazy people in the streets, kids that have no meaning in life, no purpose, no understanding, no respect or reverence for any kind of human life, and they just go out and shoot kids. So we pray for the nation again and again. We keep praying. We will continue to press in. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.